This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey guys, welcome to IGN Live Presents Mass Effect 3 SpoilerCast. I'm joined by editor Dustin Legarry.
Hey.
And by PlayStation editor and Up at Noon host Greg Miller.
Be up!
And today we're going to talk about Mass Effect 3. We're going to talk about a bunch of different stuff. There's some kerfuffle on the internet about the ending.
Has there been?
And, you know, it's been a little while since the game's come out. We've all been playing it. I think it's time for us to weigh in on a bunch of different topics.
Yeah.
What we're basically going to do is talk about it. We're going to take questions from you. Please tweet us at IGN, hashtag ME3. We're going to be giving away some stuff as well, too. We got some shirts. We're going to give away a hat and some crazy N7 jacket as well. But just so you know, this is a spoiler cast, so please, 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 if you are concerned about hearing about whether it be the ending of the game or what happens to your favorite or most hated crew member or anything like that.
We're talking about all that.
Everything's on the table. We're going to be talking about all of it. So please just know that going in. I believe that we're going to have a little note on the player at all times that says spoiler too, just in case you didn't hear any of that stuff. So with that, let's get going here. So, Mass Effect 3, the ending, what's all this hubbub about?
Well, people are really upset because it's terrible.
Oh, okay, well.
See, now, we talked about this a little bit before it went on, and I really think it comes down to your level of Mass Effect fandom. Like, Destin is a huge Mass Effect fan, crazy Mass Effect fan, and I'm a Mass Effect fan, period, right? Like, I enjoy the games. Two, now three. Yeah. One sucked. But it's one of those things, when I finished
one didn't suck.
I was like, alright, you know, the ending, I was like, all right, no big deal, whatever. And then I talked to Poe, my friend who's like super crazy Mass Effect fan, and he was like, have you watched the other endings? Read this article, blah, blah, blah. And it was pointing out the fact that, you know, for him as a fan, like there were all these questions that weren't answered that I didn't think that much about, right? Like I didn't think about, well, oh, they blew up a mass relay, which I know from Arrival kills everything in the world.
Yeah, like when you start Mass Effect 3, you encounter these Batarians who are pretty much wiped out because one mass relay was destroyed. Well, every single ending in the game, you destroy all the mass relays, meaning you're obliterating entire races.
You're basically killing more people than the Reapers wouldn't.
Ever.
You could be, because the reason why the Batarians were all killed was because the mass relay was so close to their system. So, with the location of all the other mass relays, as you go through the galaxy and you go to all of them, you can see they're right next to plenty of other systems. So some of them are gaseous, you know, giants or whatever they are.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm actually right here at the ending of the game, and I just want to point out that I'm with Liara and Garrus, and I'm going right to the point that we're talking about where, you know, let's see what happens when you actually do this suicide run and play through the end portion.
People get smoked, apparently.
Yeah.
Now we're getting a lot of questions coming in here, so please tweet us at IGN, hashtag ME3. Again, this is a spoiler cast. We're going to be showing the whole ending. We're going to be talking about the different endings that you can get or how different they are. We're also going to be talking about big things that happen over the course of the game that we thought were cool or we thought were questionable, whether it be having the ability to actually cure the Genophage, making a decision for the future of Rannoch, whether you should support the Geth or support the Quarians, all kinds of crazy stuff. So
here we go.
So here we are.
Everybody's knocked down. Everybody's dead.
From this point on, there's actually a great theory out there on the internet that I really like, and it's that Shepard is trying to be indoctrinated by the Reapers. Mm-hmm. Now, indoctrination has been covered in the novels. It's been covered in the game itself. If you go to the Codex, there's the guy does a whole reading about it.
Yeah.
And
so what is indoctrination, if you don't know?
Indoctrination is where the Reapers try and control your mind. They did it to Saren in the first game.
We find out in a second they did it to the Elusive Man here.
Yeah, they did it to the Elusive Man. And people think they're doing it to Shepard here. I mean, look at this whole sequence. It's different. You have infinite ammo with your gun. There's a vignette around the whole thing, like darkened edges. And a lot of people have hypothesized that this isn't happening. This is all a battle in his head.
Now, one of the reasons, because there's four different endings in Mass Effect, mm-hmm. and I use different very loosely. It's basically choose your color of explosion.
Yeah, yes.
But in the ending of the one where you choose destruction, mm-hmm. which would be, there's only one choice that really destroys the Reapers and gets rid of them forever. It's the destruction option. It's made out all of a sudden, though, that the entire game, that's been your goal. That's been, the entire series, right, is to wipe out the Reapers. The Reapers.
Yeah, Weavers.
They are Weavers.
And you're making these choices, and all of a sudden in that game, that's the renegade decision. Mm-hmm. That's the one that's clearly not supposed to be the cool one. But if you do it, it's the one ending, and you have, what is it, all the war assets, is it, or your Galactus readiness. You get, at the very end, you wake up and take a breath.
Yeah. And, like, that's really cool because something, you survive. That's the only way you can survive. But I was friends with a Geth, so I killed a Geth. I kill any synthetic.
Edie's dead.
Edie dies
because
of that, and that's really frustrating because
But that's the choice, right? I mean, that's always been Mass Effect's thing, is putting you into these really, really tough choices.
Yeah,
and that's why you had to weigh every choice in this game.
It's not even really a choice because any choice you make, the exact same thing happens. Your friends are still stranded. All the mass relays are still blowing up, and you get a color swap.
Yeah. Well, that's what we think, right? If this is all in Shepard's head, it is indoctrination. And he does the destruction route, which the Reapers are telling him is that's the renegade decision. You don't want to make that decision. But then he makes a decision, kills the Reapers. Maybe not all the information is true, right? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe the explosions we see aren't really happening. Maybe Edie is still alive. Maybe it only took out the Reapers, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's very confusing the way it's presented.
Yeah.
And that's why people are mad. They want closure to their characters, to their stories.
Yeah, my argument for my friend who was so invested in it, right, was I was like, well, weren't the fact that for Tally and for Garrus and for anybody to get them on my squad this time around, I pretty much closed their story, right? Like, Tally has that great moment where you guys, at least in my story, sit down on our planet, mm-hmm. she takes off her mask, it's like, everything's gonna be okay. And it's like, great, now we're gonna go do this thing where we take out everything.
Yeah.
And so I was like, doesn't that solve it all for you, that's the ending? And he was like, no, that's not the ending. That doesn't solve anything for me, because then she's still stranded somewhere, at the end of this, if every mass relay is destructed. There's all these people orbiting Earth now that have no way to get home.
No way to get home.
Also, we don't know what happened to your crew once you're storming the Citadel being
just saw that they were with me right there. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the game, they're on the Normandy apparently. What? They just took
running
off
away
and
from
left
what?
Shepard? Yeah,
where's Joker leading the Normandy away?
Exactly,
from him,
right. Yeah. Somehow you figure that only you and Anderson got into the Ray, and then the two people who were with you got beamed off the planet during this whole fight into the Normandy that then got away somehow.
Hey, Shepard's gone. Here's a
running?
Shuttle. Okay, bye. Yeah.
Like the Normandy's. Yeah. Why would the Normandy run when the Normandy's always there for you trying to
so,
do something?
So we're getting a lot of questions in. Jose Ole 5990 asks,
name, Jose Ole.
And we're kind of talking a little bit about this, but he says, IGN, if you needed to create a new ending, how would you envision it? Now we're talking a little bit about this indoctrination angle. Like, okay, give me the elevator pitch. Like 2 minutes. How would you envision a new ending?
Watch up at noon on Monday. No, there is a great ending bit there from Destiny. I mean,
I didn't write it.
I'm giving you credit. No. That's the whole thing for me, is that I wouldn't want a new ending. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where, for me, it's, even though it wasn't great or satisfying or whatever, it's closed. And that's why I kind of don't like the deep breath thing. I like it when games end. I like, you know what I mean? And then maybe something happens. I mean, this isn't the Infamous 2 spoiler cast, but Infamous 2 has two endings that are very decidedly over. And so then it's like, well, let's see, how would they do three? I don't know, but it's something cool they could do. You know what I mean?
But I mean, even if there is no indoctrination happening, if Shepard did take a breath and he's still alive, that doesn't mean that the story at this point isn't concluded, because, you know, you've got, you know, Joker and your crew, whoever that is that survived, stuck on some other planet, and so Shepard took a breath. Doesn't that still signify some kind of conclusion? I mean, the mass relays are destroyed, the Reapers are gone, or they've been... put off.
Well, then I'm frustrated because I have so many more questions. If they're, you know what I mean? Like, so we so all synthetics are destroyed, including everybody we just talked about. But somehow, Joker
or they're synthesized.
On this planet. Yeah,
they become one. Yeah, I don't like that either. That's weird. But anyway, another argument for the indoctrination theory is all these elements. They look like the Shadow Broker ship from the Shadow Broker DLC from Mass Effect 2. So maybe this is all stuff that he remembers.
They're pulling from his internal memory. And internal backlog
and then
of information.
Like, how does Anderson beat him there?
Yeah, exactly. That was a really weird thing too.
Yeah.
But
why is Anderson even there?
Here's the problem, Destin. As a huge Mass Effect fan, you're disappointed in this ending. If they say, "All right, everybody, there was more to this story. The deep breath meant something. Here's a $15 DLC that explains it." What are you gonna be happy with that?
Well, let me talk about how I feel about the ending. I didn't really give my two cents.
And just to be clear, we don't know if it'll be $15. It could be
free. If it was free, I would have no problem with it.
And we don't even know what it is.
I still have a problem with it. Right. What about the people who don't have online, who can't get that ending?
Well, it's time to get off your Amish farm and join us here on the internet.
Okay, guys, keep in mind, we're still going to be taking questions. We're going to be giving away some stuff here. This is IGN Live presents Mass Effect 3 SpoilerCast. Tweet us at IGN, hashtag ME3. So what's happening here? We're now up in the Citadel, and all of a sudden, and it's actually not the Citadel anymore, it's the Crucible, and we're talking with an indoctrinated elusive man.
They're together.
Well, yes, but it's not just...
So,
some
people are saying...
Can you turn on subtitles? Can you do that in the middle of this thing?
No, I don't think I can.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Caleb Lawson.
Some people think that the elusive man is the indoctrinated side of Shepard's brain, and that Anderson is your unindoctrinated part of the side. And this is actually a battle going on in your mind, and they're representing the two factions of your brain. And, like, now, when you Sopranos, the ending of that, it goes to black. And some people hated it, some people loved it. And what I loved about it mostly is that it spurned discussion, just like this did. Unfortunately, people, like, really wanted it changed. Or altered, or a supplement to be added. And that's one reason I don't know if I want that from BioWare, because look at the discussions, the fanfare that's come out of this. It's been amazing, and I love having those conversations with other fans of the game.
That's true. That is the good thing about it. And the thing is, like, talking to you and talking to Poe, or talking to anybody about the indoctrination theory and what it all means, I love the idea of that, but I wanted to take the breath and know that what was happening.
Yeah.
I don't want to take the breath and now argue together for 6 months until we get a piece of DLC that may or may not, go with it.
So we're going to give away our first giveaway, which is a T-shirt. Do we have those up here? Oh, here they are, right here. Yeah. Dip, dip, dip. So here is a...
That's Shepard.
Commander Shepard. Mass Effect 3 T-shirt. This is going to go to Juan Jose Wilches, I guess. I'm sorry if I'm slaughtering your name. He says, did the ending controversy... not the ending itself, ruined the experience. Wasn't DLC supposed to expand or add closure to the story?
The ending, for me, it was kind of a letdown to see how fans reacted and like we demand, we're fighting to take back Mass Effect. From who? The people who made it for you?
Yeah.
You know, like, I just don't like the whole phrasing, the way the campaign's
phrased.
Like, expressing your dislike of the ending and having these discussions, I love that aspect of it. And, like, but, like, making demands from the people who gave us this amazing product, you know?
Yeah.
Because 1 hour of it's bad, you know?
Or it didn't end the way you wanted to.
Yeah.
On the other hand, would fans have rejoiced if a similar sort of criticism had been leveled at the prequels for Star Wars, and George Lucas would have come out and said, you know what, you're right, I totally blew it, we're getting rid of Jar Jar Binks, we're going to change things with Anakin, so on and so forth.
He just adds more stuff. Like,
But it's just, it's interesting. I mean, I think that the response has been similar. Like, to this specific question, actually, Destin and myself, and I don't know when you actually played it, Greg, but we played the game and we got the endings before the controversy came out. So we were sort of playing it, before all of that happened.
Yeah.
Did the ending itself ruin the game? Like, did you feel like up until the ending, Mass Effect 3 was like, yay, and then when you got to it, you're like, oh gosh.
Honestly, it's been hard. Like, normally I play through these games on like Insane and everything. It's been hard for me to go back knowing that I'm working towards this.
I've heard
this
that a lot.
Confusing, oh my God. This confusing ending that rough. Like doesn't really make any sense. And if this isn't indoctrination, which fans have speculated, then it's just kind of like, bleh.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I feel about it. It's just, weak. Yeah. It's weak.
To the question, I mean, I think in a way for me, it didn't ruin it, right? But it really sucks. It sucks so much that this is the conversation about it.
Yeah.
It isn't, oh my God, is it indoctrination? Is it this? What does it mean? Blah, blah, blah. It's they ruined this ending and they've ruined the franchise and it's like, that's what I don't like about it. Because I did play it after this had already started.
Okay.
And like we were talking about it before we went on air, right? That so many people in the office haven't played it. And so now when people beat it, the first thing we say to them is, what did you think? Were you let down by the ending? Are you upset?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And so it's already one of those things where you walk in with that preconceived notion of, well, a lot of people aren't mad about this. I wonder why. And it was the same for me, right? Because I beat it and I was like, that didn't seem that bad. And I text my friend, he's like, oh, well, here's why it's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, gotcha. Right, okay.
Now let's bring up Lost for a second.
Bam!
For people who like Lost, there was a similar reaction. There was a polarization. Some people just thought, hey, that was perfect. I liked how open-ended it was, and I liked to be able to just sit here and talk, well, what about this, what about this, what about this? There were other people that felt like the whole idea of what Lost was trying to do was present all of these crazy things and then kind of explain them as you go along, or at least that's what I think we felt like over the course of six seasons.
I hope so.
And then at the very end, you're like, hey, I don't even know what the numbers mean. All these different things that were unanswered. Do you guys feel like, personally, like it's sort of the same thing, and maybe that's the way that the fans are reacting? Or, I mean, did you guys watch Lost?
Yeah, I did.
And like, I didn't watch the ending, but...
Yeah, for me, I wasn't super disappointed in Lost, and I think it's because I'm in the same vein as Mass Effect, which I was like, this is a fun ride, and then I was like, okay, cool. And like, because I cared about Jack, and what happened to Jack? Okay, cool, Jack Shepard. But I think Mass Effect's a different story, and I think games are a different story. Like, you know what I mean? We talk about, like, I didn't like the ending of this movie, I didn't like the ending of this TV show, and then Mass Effect, you're like, I don't like the ending of Mass Effect. And it's a bigger deal because you've had three games of the same character, right? You know, the biggest thing in my life besides Portillo is trophies, and I want trophies nonstop. And I kept playing on 360 because I had my character, and I wanted to see how my relationship with Garrus panned out, and I wanted this, and like, you own these parts of these characters, right? And you sit there and you agonize over these choices, especially in this game. In 3, I totally did sit there and put the controller down. I'm like, do I want to make the renegade choice here? Like, I'm a paragon, but the renegade choice makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
And so I think there's so much personal investment in it that when you do get here and you've made so many decisions and seen how they panned out, you make this final decision and you're like, well, what? Wait, what? Like,
yeah.
I think it's a bigger blow.
That's how I felt too. I make the decision, I'm like, well, there must be a better choice or something.
Yeah, right.
And I go check them out, I'm just like, what? Yeah.
You know. Now,
also, they saved the world with the PlayStation Move, heads up.
Yeah.
Wow. So now you played a majority of the game as Paragon?
Was
it all Paragon. The way through all three games?
Well, I from 2 on I did.
Okay.
I got bored with 1 because it was a really boring game.
Okay.
I really liked 1. 1's still one of my favorites.
Yeah, me too. And you played as a Paragon.
Yeah.
So now,
I did play through the first 2 Paragon and Renegade, but I lost my save, so I never got to see how the Renegade path panned out.
I played as a Renegade in 1. In 2, I felt like guilty, and so so I kind of went through this reformation. I even put like my character's face back together, and he looked normal by the end. And then in 3, it was pretty mixed. But you're right. There were a lot of decisions, especially like when you were on Rannoch, and you had to decide, okay. Do I support the Geth, who all of a sudden we've learned all this insight that, you know, they were just defending themselves against what was going on with the Quarians?
There's like three or four outcomes that situation that some are majorly dramatic.
Like for me, I supported the Geth because I was a huge fan of Legion in 2, and then I felt like it was right, and then my Tally died. Like she
really?
Yeah, yeah, she just like she jumped off a cliff, and I'm like, oh no.
Shit, really?
Oh, yes.
Sorry, I cursed. Anyway, I didn't know that, and that's the best part about. That's why I'm so pissed off that people are focused on the ending. It's so dramatic. Because there was a part where when we're... go ahead.
Sorry, the reason they're focusing on that is because they've been promised, and we did an interview with Casey Hudson where he said, there will be wildly different conclusions based on the player's decisions in the first 2 chapters. That's completely false because we get a color swap. That's the wildly different
conclusions. But is he talking about specifically the ending?
Right.
Or are you talking about these characters?
Because,
wildly
like,
different
like,
conclusions.
Like, put
conclusions of the character threads, though. That's
right. But now put it this way. Okay, so for instance, in Mass Effect 1, I didn't kill Rex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I have no idea how that would play out with the whole Genophage storyline in 3, because in 3 we're given an opportunity to cure the Janophage.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what would it have been like if I would have gone to what was it called, Tatanka or
Tatanka?
If we went there and Rex wasn't the Primarch or whatever those you know whatever they're called.
Yeah. It's his brother Reeve.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, did you guys kill Rex?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it didn't matter.
No, it really doesn't matter. They just swap out like Morden swaps out with some other Salarian, and maybe you can't, you know, get the Morden thing, but you can still do pretty much the exact same stuff. So it really didn't have an effect.
So Destin's just mad.
No, I would have liked to see if you killed Rex, you don't get access to that content. He's dead.
Yeah.
They're screwed.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get access to the Salarian stuff. So if you kill everybody, you know, you should have had a totally different story. Instead, you just get a placeholder character instead.
Yeah. I understand. It's similar with the Arachne, right?
Arachne.
Like I said, I'm not some big Mass Effect nerd. I just enjoy the game. But like, you know, since I started 2, started 2 on 360, mm-hmm. they made choices for me. In mine, they wiped out the Arachne, right? Mm-hmm. Because I guess that's the right choice.
It's Arachne.
Arachne.
No A.
Well, I think they're spiders, all right? We're all aware of what this
they're
is.
They're squishy little... Yeah, I don't
nerds.
Even know what
Anyways,
they are.
So. I was talking to Poe through text when he's like, let me know when you do this, let me know when they blah, blah, blah. And so like... When I got to the part in this one where you know the queen should be there if you didn't kill her, right? And she's like, oh, this is happening. For mine, it's like this mutated monster that's just like a made up like hybrid built thing. It's like all disgusting.
Was she blue?
No, she was all like dripping black ooze, and
she was
a slime monster.
Oh, okay.
And so like I was like, oh yeah, well I'm not gonna save you, and and she freaks out. She's like, children, kill them all.
Oh wow.
And I get the hell out of there and I beat him and I text Poe and I we start talking. And it's clear we're not synced at all. And I had to call him, and he had to explain to me what I did. And it was like, okay, so this decision from 1 totally changed everything here. Because he was like, well, you know, at least they took it well when I said I wasn't going to save her. I'm like, what are you talking about? Mine was like, they called everyone to kill me. And it's like, oh, okay. And here we go, Ghost Child.
Yeah, so here's another point of contention. A lot of people were confused and really outraged by this, or just... I don't know. Like my reaction to this was why was it human? Like if this is technology that you know had been handed over millions of cycles.
Well, it's
or,
like
I don't
contact
know.
With you know yeah, what's
Jodie
her
Foster.
Name? Jodie Foster.
Right.
Her dad.
Yeah.
At the end.
Okay.
The
yeah.
Alien
so
was her dad.
Now
like, really.
So then one of the answers is it you know an avatar that's being represented as a human because it's well, Shepard, or was there sort of the forethought to know from this sentient race that the Protheans or whoever it is that the avatar. Or the catalyst indeed would be a human and a Shepard.
And see, that's the confusing thing is that I think it's like Gozer. Whatever you imagine Gozer to be, Gozer will be. And I think that's what they're doing. But because this is the kid that we saw die, and I don't think the kid was always on Earth, and it was this thing. I think that Shepard's projecting out what he wants it to look like. But I don't know how they're reading that, and I don't know, is this just indoctrination again?
Like,
this is where the whole thing starts to do the whole, like, Well, you could destroy us, but that's clearly the renegade choice, or you could let us all live with you. And like,
if you go into the codex, it says they'll play tricks on your mind, often appearing as godlike creatures.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, you know, that's pretty much exactly what he is.
So, guys, what do you think? What do you think this is all about? This kid, all this stuff that we're talking about. Tweet us at IGN, hashtag ME3. We're going to be giving away some more stuff here in a little bit. Rob the Misfit asks, do you believe that Shepard is in fact the catalyst? Or was this just, is he just the wrong guy he wanted up there, and that's just the dude that's standing here at the time?
Well, the kid at the end says that, like, obviously our way no longer works if you're standing here. So, he's not the catalyst. I don't remember what the catalyst was.
Yeah.
Catalyst was what you had to put in the thing, right?
so he is the thing that... changes this. I don't know. I like the indoctrination theory, so... No.
So, now, let's talk about this for a moment here. One big problem I had. Now, to be clear, I didn't have necessarily all the same issues. Mm-hmm. The fact that all the ending cutscenes were essentially the same, or there were palette swaps, was weird to me. I would have loved to see something that was a little bit more akin to, say, the ending of 6 Feet Under. Like, if you guys watched that series, it was an HBO series, and at the conclusion, you got to essentially see a fast forward of all of the characters' lives, literally. Mm.
That would have felt a lot better to me. Just
because
you're
so
mad,
you're just what happened to
What happened to the Arachni? What happened to Decia that was being blown up?
Yeah.
And like, but Rex.
One thing.
Did he have a baby?
One thing, and yes, I'm sure he did because that's
it was on the way.
He was going home to do. Yeah. But one thing that I had a huge issue for, or at least it felt like we stepped out of this really rich fiction and back very clearly into gameplay, was the idea that the Crucible was designed from the start, millions of cycles ago, to have two giant buttons, and one clearly blue, one clearly red, and you know, to give people this sort of polarized choice. That to me just it just took me out of that sort of disbelief. And to BioWare's credit, I think up until this point, they had done such a great job sort of with that suspension of disbelief. But it's in those moments where all of a sudden you're like, oh. Yeah, well, and you're like, oh, I've been playing as a Paragon, so clearly I should go over to the blue part. Maybe I should go into the middle, I don't know.
Speaking of that, notice who went which way. Anderson went red, and he's always been representative of good. And then the elusive man goes blue. Yeah.
I think it totally is. And I think the true ending is destruction and getting the breath.
Yeah,
because I do think that the Reapers are trying to trick you. The indoctrination stuff all makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. And like, so then my only problem comes down to is playing a game that isn't complete. And that sounds like a slight against BioWare, and I don't mean it to be. But I just mean incomplete in the way of, like, I wanted to choose destruction and take a breath and have, you know, the Reapers falling from the sky and someone telling me whatever you did, you know, it's like, oh, and then credits, you know what I mean? Not, like, to be like this.
Now, there was a rumor going around that BioWare actually had this plan from the start, and the first piece of DLC was going to be free, and it was going to be called The Truth, and you figure out what actually happens. Now, if that's true, perfect. That's good. But then it's...
Wait a second, you're all pissed off at people without the internet.
But then I started thinking about, like, what about people without internet? They think this is the product that they get.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so they're stuck with this confusing ending.
Yeah.
So
not going to make a decision. I'm going to look at the...
I choose nothing.
Watch it be destroyed.
What do you think now, little kid?
So Dalton Northrup asks, don't you think the kid in the end is the kid that died from the beginning?
Totally. Well,
yeah, it's a representation. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Now we've already, as we've been talking, this indoctrination, playing tricks on your mind, this could just be pulled out of Shepard's psyche. He could be standing here physically on the Crucible doing this and seeing that, or he could be in a dream state, could be happening. But yeah, BioWare and the story foreshadowed this kid at the very beginning was killed in the ship, and then he keeps popping up with these, you know, these fever dream nightmares where he's running around in the woods and you have to run really slow like you're in Alan Wake or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, another theory is that, another point that somebody made was when you talk to the Rachni Queen, you killed her, so you might not have. Yeah. She talks about being indoctrinated and how she saw... Inky-like versions of her people, and then when you have all those dream sequences,
that's right, yeah.
You see the same thing, and the queen talks about that, and that's like what it was like being indoctrinated for her, and you're kind of going through that.
See, and all this stuff is cool. Indoctrination in this storyline sounds cool,
yes.
But I want the conclusion on the game.
So wait a second. So what if we all are just lacking faith? What if BioWare has all of this? What if it is indoctrination?
Yeah.
And they're literally going to extend the story, or they're going to supplement the story, and they'd planned this entire time to do this.
Then,
I mean, are we just angry for no reason?
If that's the case, two dramatic things have happened here. One, what does it mean to make a video game anymore? And
What does it mean?
What does it all mean, Casey? You understand what I'm saying. I mean, can we live in an age where
commenters?
No, not even that yet. He's saying if it's been this was their plan all along. Yeah. Then, I mean, can you release a game and not have a real ending on it, or not, you know, you need to release a DLC that's the truth that is what you saw being the ending, but you didn't include it so everybody who doesn't have internet gets it. Mm-hmm. And then two, the backlash, it's going to be, the problem is that the kids who did the Child's Play charity and the kids who, and I say everybody kids if you don't listen to podcasts, sorry, if the men and women, who, you know, bothered developers through Twitter and said really mean things to them, and these people who felt like they bullied them, now there's this whole thing of then BioWare's going to say, here's this thing that we always were going to do, and the people who were like the really pushing this whole line, you know, us against Mass Effect, they're going to sit there and go, well, you know, we made them do this. This is a success for us. And BioWare's going to be like, no, this is our plan. They're going to be like, no. Mm-hmm. What? Just talk,
just,
Caleb. It's cool.
Okay, so I'm about to choose the best ending possible where we destroy the Reapers, but it also wipes out sentient life.
Yeah, all right. So this is the one we think is the real ending.
Yeah.
If the indoctrination theory is right. Mm-hmm. Do you have the whole crazy built-up bar to see the breath?
I might have. I haven't played multiplayer in a while, and okay. we're offline right now, so we might not get the breath, but we do have a video of it, right, just in case.
Okay. There we go.
Hopefully I got it.
Yeah.
So guys, we're still taking your questions. Please tweet us at IGN, hashtag ME3. We're going to give away a t-shirt here in a second. While we watch this, or should we just let this run?
Well, let's let this run, because like there's a flood of questions that come up with this final scene and everything they show, because they show the fleets having, or maybe that was that earlier? Well, whatever. There's still, all these fleets are here, and now the relays are about to blow up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so they're stuck.
There's the pulse.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
this is the red ending. There's also a blue and green, which are pretty much the exact same.
Yeah, imagine these being blue or green, you'll see.
There's different variations, like the bad versions, you see Big Ben in London get destroyed.
Yeah.
One, the entire Earth just gets wiped out if you don't
have
your
galactic
readiness.
Nothing.
Yeah, yeah. You just rush to the end.
Mm-hmm. I had a few bugs with this, where it was just like this scene was just red and blue. Like those are the only colors.
Well, maybe
like,
it was 3D, weird. Maybe it was old school 3D.
Yeah, supposed to get the 3D glasses out of the game.
It's actually a combination. You got both endings.
Yeah.
We couldn't pick.
So I like this one. I just really hate it because, like, in my storyline, the Geth were helping the Quarians. Yeah. And, like, they were slowly introducing things in their suits so that they could build up immunity and eventually not need to wear their suits.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, they were working together to, you know, make better lives for each other. And I kill them all. It's like everyone's dead now.
But again, maybe that's not really what happens.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you're waking up and taking this breath, maybe you never left Earth, and I don't know how you defeat the Reapers in your mind. But
I hope BioWare can come out because, like, they never said we're changing the ending or anything.
Yeah.
And maybe they've been just it's wishful thinking. But I hope they had this plan from the start.
Yeah. It'd be nice.
Yeah. Sure
and, you know,
would.
Even if they didn't and they decide to do something like this and they say they did, we're cool with that, too.
Yeah, they have an opportunity. They have a really big opportunity now to, you know, do it better. So this is all the mass relays blowing up, which, as we saw in the Arrival DLC, kills a lot of people.
Now, this is
because they're all near civilizations. They were a trap for people to build civilizations around them.
Yep. So and this is one of the moments that we were talking about that people have been very vocal about. Why is Joker in a mass relay stream? Why wouldn't he be right at Earth? Where is he running from? And why is your crew on the Normandy, as you see here in a second? How did they get there after you beamed up into the Citadel Crucible Citadel thing?
So they were with me, and in the 15 minutes I was on the Citadel,
they bailed.
Like, well, let's leave.
See ya.
They split, Dustin.
That's why it's a whole Shepard's mind.
Yeah.
The last two people he saw, he wants to make sure they're fine. There
and then this just doesn't make sense to me. People talked about it coming full circle and you're rebuilding life. So, like, in the synthesis ending, so Joker and Edie are rebuilding life?
Yeah, right.
Or Joker's with my romantic interest rebuilding life? Yeah, it's very strange.
I thought they were going to do, like, some kind of Adam Eve thing here. When I was watching it,
that's what I think they're doing. They're kind of trying the show.
And it's a cool sci-fi moment. I mean, just the look of it, you know, seeing just a ship stranded with, obviously, alien technology on this crazy natural planet. But yeah, the first thing I thought when my crew... Well, I didn't even know who was going to come out, because, the first time you watch it and you play it, you don't know what's going on. Why is the Normandy here? Where is it? Who's on? And I wasn't sure if it was going to be like the end of the Suicide Mission in 2, where whoever survived. And
And hey, then you see, buddy, thanks Garrus. For ditching me.
All right, yeah, thanks.
I'm sure Shepard's fine.
He's cool. Where are we?
Yeah, I was mobile enough to get on the Normandy, but not to go into the Ray and come help you.
Yeah, exactly.
I followed you as far as I was going to follow
you. Now, the Ray could only let one person up. Oh, wait, no, Anderson got up.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. So, guys, we're going to continue to read your questions here and talk about it. We're going to be giving away some more stuff here
awkward
in a second. I know.
There's
Liara. We're going to be okay.
You ditched me too. Thanks, Liara.
But tweet us at IGN, hashtag ME3. We're going to give away a t-shirt right now to Jeremy Lurie, because he has a great point. He says exactly as far as the ending being thought out this entire time, or at least having a supplemental ending. He says, can we get the Fallout 3 style epilogue? Ron Perlman narrating is up to BioWare.
I did get it. So this is like the extra 5 seconds that you get that everybody was is kind of talking about.
So this is considered the perfect ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's pretty dark, but that's Shepard.
Well, it's not as dark for them watching it. It's for just for us here.
Yeah, and he moved.
Yeah. And so, like, I haven't, you, I'm sure, have gone over this frame by frame, that 4 seconds. Is that, does it look like Earth, or does it look like...
It looks like right where you got hit with the laser blast and just rubble all around
gotcha,
you.
Gotcha. That, I mean, that like, everything we, that, I think, is the real ending. Mm-hmm. But then again, what, so then, it was just him waking up from the dream that they crashed the thing into Earth 2 or whatever? I don't know.
Yeah, like...
I don't know.
So, this is
did
a question...
Did they change it? Because that script was leaked, you know, like I said earlier. Did they change it because of that? Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. So, Tim Bastian's asks, he says, if this isn't indoctrination, how do you explain Shepard being alive at the end? Where is he? Like, so... Where is he right there? He's still on Earth. Well, is he at the bottom where the beam was originating from, or is he still up in space? I mean, we saw...
Oh, yeah, because the thing's way up there,
and it it exploded, too. Mm-hmm. Didn't it just explode in that ending as well? It exploded in every other one.
I forget. Well, it lets off the red thing, and then you're saying it explodes after that?
Well, yeah, I mean, all the pieces kind of come apart, and you see fire and everything. And
okay. Maybe he did that quick, then jumped into
switch
the
me
same
over to
teleporter.
The laptop. Let me fool
then
around
he jumped
the laptop.
Into the same teleporter that Liara and my buddy Garrus did.
Yeah,
went
exactly.
Back down to Earth
or
into
don't.
The rubble.
Fine. Thanks, everybody. Yeah.
So guys, keep sending us your questions. They're looking really good. We're at IGN #ME3. Let's stop talking about the ending for a second. Let's just talk about overall with the game. Like, what are some of the things that you really liked, and what are some of the things you didn't like?
And if BioWare wants to tweet at us and tell us what's really going on, feel free.
Yeah, we're right.
Spoil
here.
It all right.
We're right here, Casey. So Destin, what did you really like about the game, and what? What could you have done without?
Okay, another problem I had, and this is also near the end of the game. So this is the synthesis ending, by the way, that we're watching right now. One other issue I had is I run into Jack, I run into all these other people. Control F. Apple F.
I'm just trying to bring up the thing. Is that what it is? Apple F?
Yeah,
Apple F. Full screen.
No, that's full screen to everyone, isn't it? No?
Yeah, that's what you want.
Well, I know.
Crazy. Crazy Greg?
But no.
Okay,
that's
anyway,
the thing I'm looking
so
for.
There's all those people that, you know, you worked with throughout all the games.
Yep,
and,
your crew.
And then you're like, yeah, I'll talk to you later. And then at the end of the game, you get this vid terminal, and that's the only time you revisit them. Like, Grunt went through that really dramatic scene.
Yep.
And, like, he comes out covered in blood, and I was worried about him.
I didn't even know if he was alive.
And then at
he
the
comes
end,
out
I talk to him on a vid terminal, and that's my wrap-up for that character. My wrap-up for Jack, my love interest, is she's like, I want to get laid, so, you know.
And I got that back. Squad of guys out there covering your ass, you know, with their bio.
Wait, what happened with Jack? She wasn't my love interest.
She was my love interest. So when I went to the vid terminal to talk to her at the end of the game, she's just like, Shepard, are you there? He's like, yeah, I'm here. Oh, well, you better come back, because I want to get some.
Really?
And he's like, I love you, too. And that's it. That's the end.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'm trying to see if this thing blows up like Casey's talking about.
What are some of the things that you liked about it?
About the game?
Yeah.
I liked, like, the moments where you got to see those characters.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Again.
It totally explodes.
See, how could he be alive on that? What did he just...
So it is all indoctrination. Confirmed.
Yeah.
So did he never even get beamed up? Was he in the rubble the whole time?
I guess so.
I mean, I don't know. So anyway,
none of this is even happening if he's not up there.
We don't know. Who knows?
You should probably pick one because we're showing.
I was jumping to the end to show the explosion.
Oh, okay.
I had a reason why I was doing that.
Okay.
And then here's the middle ending.
We're just unlocking achievements here. That's all we're doing.
Now we're talking. Yeah. You're talking about what we liked and what we didn't like for the game.
Yeah.
I had a great time playing the game. And that's the whole thing for me again. Like not being super like Mass Effect-y.
Yeah.
Like I enjoyed the journey. I had a great time. My biggest disappointment about the whole game is that I played it on 360 because I wanted to pick up with my save and continue to have a relationship with Garrus. Mm-hmm. And I start the game and I get him early and he's like, are we still doing this? And I'm like, yeah, we are. And we make out a bit. I'm like, dynamite. And so then I walk away and I fall in love with Specialist Trainer, who's a total whore. And I have sex with her in my shower, like the third time. I'm like, yes, I love this trainer girl. I'm going to keep having sex with her. So I keep going back to Garrus, waiting for him to have this conversation with me about this trainer girl. Because in Mass Effect 2, I romanced Jacob and Garrus at the same time. Mm-hmm. And eventually they both called me on it. They were like, you got to make a choice. Like, I'm not going to continue to flirt with you. And
they did that for me in 3. They made me make a choice.
But that's what I'm talking about, though.
No, it's even worse.
I kept going to Garrus, and I'm waiting. It never happens. And then me and Trainer knock boots before we go through the thing for the final end game. And I go back to Garrus again after knocking boots with this girl, waiting for something to happen. And I open up, and he's making out with Hallie. And I'm like, gosh. Come on! Yeah. Like I don't mind that you're cheating on me too, but I wanted something, some kind of conversation, mm-hmm. acknowledging. I guess we're moving on. You know, I'm falling in love too. Yada yada. Yeah. And it wasn't. It didn't happen. I was like, oh man. Anyway, what was your thing?
So in mine, I like Jack from 2. I romance her in 2. But yeah. I like Liara, too. And she's been my main girl since Mass Effect 1.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I wanted to do her. But I find Jack in the bar. I talk to her. And she's like, well, how do you feel about me? Do you want to keep doing this? And I'm like, yeah. And I thought I could talk to Liara. And, you know, she'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
But in the bar scene, I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you're on vacation, so let's dance. They dance. They dance. That's all they do is dance.
Yeah.
And then I go back to Liara and she's like, I know about you and Jack. I'm like, we dance! You know, I just said I liked her.
Yeah, the really? Same thing happened with me and two, between yeah. Miranda and Jack. And yeah, I'm like,
yeah, I didn't mean it, it's fine, it's chill.
Yeah.
It's cool, baby. I'm planning to do things later with her. Yeah. Here we go, more. This is the combo, right? This is the synthetic combo.
Yeah, this
combo.
Is synthesis.
Yeah, and so it is a little green and red.
Green color, they're all still blowing up, killing millions of people. Maybe not here, because it's synthesis. Maybe they're
still. Well, they know, it still showed it blown up.
Oh yeah, so they're killing millions of people right now.
So guys, keep tweeting us your questions, at IGN, hashtag ME3. We're gonna give away a hat, an N7 Joker's hat here in a second. And then we're also gonna give away a black N7 utility jacket. That's crazy. I don't know if they have the graphic in there, but I can show it to you in a little bit.
There was actually another quote from somebody at BioWare that specifically said, you're not gonna get one of those A, B, C type endings.
Oh, really?
And that's literally what you get.
I think it comes down to that they, in their head, their conclusion, their endings, conclusions are involving the storylines we're talking about with Tally and Rex and all this other things, which is, I think, if this ending wasn't so unsatisfying, right, maybe yeah. there'd be a better case for that. But the fact that so many people are pissed off that they just don't know what's going on.
Now, notice that synthesis, like the leaves look different because they're part machine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then
doesn't make any sense.
You're gonna notice that on Joker too. Yeah, I don't know why why Flora would have yeah. been synthesized.
Because there's no one or the other anymore.
One thing that I thought was curious was as Joker comes out of the Normandy, he still has his limp and he's still,
yeah, I know, right? That's what I thought too.
I'm like, he's part robot.
He's
man.
Part machine. He's gonna be totally fine. Like,
why
nope,
didn't
same exact thing?
Why wasn't he healed? Or upgraded, or you know, like Miranda Lawson, and same thing with Shepard from 2, and they rebuild him and they put him back together.
He was upgraded. He has glowing eyes now.
Yeah. And like, I mean, not to mention, because like,
how about my brittle bones that break like crap?
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about. It's like
when I got this ending, I was like, oh, well, that's why he's okay. I don't understand the limp, but he survived that because he's a robot now. And in the other ending, where no, only life survived, he crashes the Normandy into a planet. Like, this is a guy who was worried about getting humped on by the robot and breaking his pelvis.
And in the bar, yeah. I can't dance.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. So. But no, I can crash a freaking spaceship into an unknown planet. Arg.
So, what's that?
Oh, plug. Yeah, if you don't want to hear us talking about sexing up characters through these endings, Mass Effect 3 IGN Wiki has all these ready to go.
Yeah, and any of the plot points that we're talking about, if you haven't seen them, we do have them all in the IGN Wiki. And, you know, you can see all the endings. We have 4 endings up right now.
Yeah.
Like the romance scenes where Tally and Garrus get caught, which is really cool. We have that.
Unless you were humping one of them and you wanted them to some kind of conclusion.
All right, so we're going to give out a hat here in a little bit.
Want to see me and Jack dance?
Yeah.
I got that.
So Ryan Johal says, I liked Morden's final moment when he turns to Genophage.
Yeah.
So some of the characters and some of the races got good sort of conclusions. Morden was one of them.
And that's what I'm saying.
That was fitting.
It's that. That's what I don't like that we're talking about, and we're so mad about the ending because the ending is so ambiguous, and so maybe I have to buy or download DLC. But like, yeah, Tally's ending was great. Morden's was the first one that I teared up at because I saved him in 2, and he's here, and he goes all the way up there, and he's singing his song while he goes, and then there's an explosion, and he dies saving these people. It's like, oh my god!
And the
for me, I got emotional when sorry to interrupt.
No, go.
But I got emotional when Grunt. I'm like. Because he's like, if you make this choice, we're dead,
you
know.
Right, yeah, and
so
of course you made that choice, which
and I'm like, I have to. And like, he runs off going crazy to save you, and I'm like, oh my god, he really did die. But then he comes back, and I was like, I had a moment where I'm just like, oh my god, I killed Grunt. Like, I didn't like him that much, but I wanted to kill him, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to give away a hat right now. Please tweet us at IGN, hashtag ME3 with your questions, and you can win some stuff too. The hat's going to go to Evan Wallace. He says, I would have liked to have seen the other races supported more. I got Elcor, Volus, and Hanar support, but they weren't shown in the final fight. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Rachna. That was a huge deal. Like I mean, the fact that the Rachna even came back up. I saved the queen in Mass Effect 1. And
here's my weird graphic thing, by the way.
I am.
Oh, the red and blue. Yeah.
But then you face that giant thing. What is the Rachna thing that
the
you...
The queen.
Okay, so...
And, or Blob in Greg's case.
But then you, then you never see it represented in the final fight. Like, you see all these fleets show up.
No, they're in the final fight. They're that number that you got at the end of the game.
Yeah,
you just got to go to your menu to see how they're doing, Casey.
So, Evan Walsh, you're going to be getting an N7 hat. Please continue to send us your questions. We'll read them out. We'll talk about them. And near the end of the show, in about 15 minutes, we're going to give away a sweet jacket.
I forget. Which ending was this? This is...
This is the blue where you control.
Oh, you take control of it.
Now, the control thing. Okay, now, weren't we basically told that we couldn't control the
room? Well, no. We were the ones saying that.
Yeah, and we're like, we're telling the elusive.
You're crazy, elusive man.
Yeah, elusive man.
It's impossible.
This is insane. Don't
but
do
this. Ghost boy says I can.
Side with us, but then the control choice is the paragon choice.
Boy. Yeah, that's why. That's
how,
why
I told. How does that make any sense?
I think it all makes sense if the indoctrination is real, and I think that's why there's a different ending for that. I think it is that they're in your head.
Let's take the indoctrination thing out of it. Let's take the fact that the cutscenes are the same out of it. Think about it for a moment, though.
Yeah.
We've been led to believe by the narrative that control is bad.
Yeah.
And that the elusive man is an example of why that's bad. He's clearly been indoctrinated. He's not in control of himself. You know, the big hinging decision at the end of Mass Effect 2 was, do we give the technology to him or do we destroy it?
Yeah.
I actually gave it to him because, I don't know, I just was feeling
nice.
And
you still got this ending, right?
And I did.
Yeah.
Now, so the elusive man is a picture of, we can't control the Reapers, but then the Paragon choice is control. How does that make any sense outside of all this other stuff? Why would that be the paragon?
I mean, it doesn't.
Answer.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't some sort like somewhere in between, like synthesis or?
Mm-hmm. I mean, like if we're throwing away indoctrination and ignoring the breath at the end and all that stuff, I think then, just by the numbers of video games and how at the end there is these goals, the middle choice is the right choice, right? Because you're combining them both, you're bringing peace to the galaxy, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's why it doesn't. That's why I think indoctrination makes so much sense now. But
I mean, it does.
Then we're spinning our wheels, going back to the same argument.
I really hope.
I mean, I do too.
I was, if I were to come in April and be like, "Hey, so here's what's up. You were right. You know, here's DLC.
So it'll be out in a year and a half. But we've been working on it forever.
It was already day one. I just wanted to let you guys talk for a while. So. Continue to send us your questions, guys. Again, thank you for joining us right now. We are IGN Live Presents Mass Effect 3 SpoilerCast. Tweet us at IGN, hashtag ME3. We got about 15 minutes left. We talked a little bit about what you liked, what you didn't like, some of the things that I really liked. For me, I felt like I was constantly encountering moments that felt tailor-made for my playthrough based on decisions that I'd made, and I wondered, you know, at any, you know, cutscene, any decision, any sort of like look that I got from my crew, like how it would have been different if I had played different. I felt like it was really knit together very, very, very well. And that's a huge feat. You know, there's got to be some crazy algorithms behind all of that to connect all those dots and have it happen at the same and at the right times, so it felt genuine.
Yeah.
Another thing that I liked, even though I hated fighting them, I loved the Banshees. Like, they were a bane because, but any, dude, you know, anytime you heard that, you're just like, oh God. But that's the sign of like, you know.
Yeah,
so that's definitely, I agree on that point. Sound design is phenomenal.
Yes.
Like how the Reapers sound, it's like, you know, they come down, it's like, boom.
Yeah.
Like they're intimidating. And you're like, I gotta get the hell out of here.
Now, speaking of sound, as far as the music is concerned, I was kind of split on it. Like there's some cool returns to some themes that have sort of carried over across all three games.
They didn't change it, they just reused the old soundtrack.
Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah. So I mean, they used the Jack Wall, Sam Hulick, sort of opening theme. It's actually called Vigil. That's the name of the song off of the original Mass Effect soundtrack. Mass Effect 2 soundtrack was different. It was a lot of bleeps and bloops and kind of weird environmental mixes.
Yeah.
This one I felt like had sort of a return to Mass Effect 1, but it didn't have some of the moments. Like one of my favorite songs, and this is getting ultra nerdy with the music, but there's a song on Mass Effect 2 soundtrack called Legion, and it's during the fight when you actually get Legion.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing and climactic. I'll post it on my IGN blog a little bit later. If you haven't heard it, you should check it out. It's awesome. There wasn't a moment like that per se in this game where everything was driving, then the music kicks in, and I don't know. So
going to Purgatory was pretty cool though. I like that techno song.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. And what about, I know that there was that the bit of the narrative talking about like everything's so crazy so you just need to dance with your hands going wild.
Yeah, the scene of Shepard.
I love when
you ask Jack to dance or something and she's like, everybody knows you can't dance. And I thought that was a great line just because every game he's such a terrible dancer because the animation looks so bad. But there were great little moments like that. I mean, I loved Edie in Mass Effect 2, but then to see her getting a body and then I kept trying to prone her. Hey, Joker.
You gotta go for that.
So here's a really
good... That was still really creepy to me.
Really? Yeah. I thought it was great because I was like, as soon as Edie got in that body, I'm like, I'm dumping Trainer. I'm gonna try to romance. And Edie wouldn't hear about it. I was like, all right, I get
it. So some good questions coming in. Continue to tweet us at IGN, hashtag ME3. Question from my IGN Sam. He says, do you guys wish that more people from 2 could join your squad in ME3?
Yeah.
What do you think about the small squad size?
I don't know. That it allowed them to focus more on those individual characters' story.
Yeah.
But like my wrap up for Kasumi, who I always found to be a really weak character, just like I didn't like her DLC.
Yeah.
But then I encounter her in 3. I'm like, oh cool, you're not dead.
Yeah.
And like it's just like this side quest. And it's interesting, but then she's gone.
Yeah. I understand why they made the choices they did in a smaller cast and all that. But my problem was that all my favorite people weren't available to me here.
Right? I wanted Rex back.
See, that's fine for you. I wanted Morden. I liked Jacob. I liked Miranda. I loved Legion. And so, like, not only did these people not come back, Morden and Legion die and almost make me cry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, God damn, man. Yeah. Like, but it was cool. I just wanted, and that's why I think it's interesting that watching your endings, you used Garrus and Liara too. Mm-hmm. And I did too.
That was my go-to crew.
Well, for me, they were just the earliest people I had. And I was like, well, I already know you guys are good. Just keep coming with me on stuff. And he's like, I'm ready. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, shouldn't you be making out with Joker? Come on.
Yeah, no, I like characters from 1. They've been with me since the beginning. I trust them. I know it's weird to say that about a character, but I trust them. I know how they work and how I can use their powers.
Who did you use least? I least used Edie and James.
Yeah, I mean, I legitimately didn't take anybody else out like once I had Garrus and what's her face? Leo. Yeah,
I don't think I used James. I didn't use Tali. Ashley, no.
My Ashley died. She got shot during the coup with what's the guy on the council? What's his name?
You shot her?
No, I didn't. Oh, actually, maybe I did shoot her. Yeah, I did. I shot her.
Died. Oh, nice.
Wow. She died, yeah. I didn't romance her, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't. I
should have did this in Mass Effect 1.
I let Caden die in the first one, I kept her alive. She's better looking. But
just like, I'm fixing my mistake.
Now, tell me this. Anytime you see those Renegade or Paragon trigger prompts, do you guys just pull them, or do you...
I'm so tempted to pull a renegade one.
I always do. So that was one of those, and I was like, oops.
Sorry, Ashwell.
Sorry.
It was. I weighed those decisions. The thing I liked about Mass Effect 3 is I didn't feel I was locked into Paragon or Renegade. Because I've been Paragon pretty much all the time. That's what I do. And in 2, I'd feel guilty if I made a Renegade choice. Mm-hmm. But here, like, everything's on the line. Everything's about to explode. There'd be times where I was like, I don't like you, and I don't have time to worry about it, and I'd shoot. You know what I mean? I like that.
I haven't played through the whole thing Renegade yet, but I am a little bit excited to do that again. Because I haven't done this one all Renegade, and some people at work have, and like their faces are all scarred up, they look like a Terminator. And I'm like, that's awesome. So cool, I want to do that.
So Nick Fritz says, he's laying down some wisdom here. He says, control equals what the elusive man wanted, synthesis equals what Saren wanted, destroy equals what Shepard wanted. Indoctrination is true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we're all kind of in agreement with them. I mean, that's what we've been talking about.
The more
about
you talk about
time.
It, right, it's what it
just
comes down
makes
to.
It sense, yeah.
It's just then, I just...
And I think they wanted it to be like that Sopranos ending where everything goes to black and it spurns discussion. But instead, what happened is people are just upset because maybe they missed the cues at first or aren't part of that discussion. And they're just like, we deserve more. This ending's terrible.
Well, then, I mean, because then it all does go back to, like, what did we get on this disc? We got what was promised to be the conclusion of all our choices, but instead we got another breadcrumb. You know what I mean? And again, it wouldn't be bad necessarily if this Mass Effect 3 ends, breath, end of it. That's it. There wasn't then a screen that pops up and he's like, Commander Shepard is now legendary, and you get a chance to play more as him in DLC. And you know what I mean? What are you doing?
And then there's the scene with the old man and the little
Stargazer,
boy.
Yeah, Stargazer, Buzz Aldrin. And the credits started going, I remember it, and I was like, Buzz Tell Aldrin me again is about Stargazer. The shepherd, I'm like, who is that? And then this like horribly voice acted part comes up. I'm like, oh, here it is.
So angry. So guys, we have a little bit of time left. Please tweet us at IGN, hashtag ME3. We're going to be giving away a jacket at the end of the show. We're talking about Mass Effect 3, all the spoilers, talking about the ending, talking about what we thought, what we liked, what we didn't like. A couple things that I didn't like. Was what I felt like was a very shallow side mission system. Like,
walking by and it'll pop, it's added in my journal. I'm like, I heard somebody mention a repulsor. What are you talking
about? Hey, I lost my wallet back mission.
And the thing that to me that stood out was actually a buddy of mine pointed this out, that every single race seems to have lost their war Bible or their. This is how we take over whatever it is, and it's lost on some random planet that has no relation to any of these races. Like, why would it be in this other system? And then to boot, to make matters worse, some of them are lost on systems that aren't even open, and the journal gives you no indication on the fact that galaxy's not even, or the system's not even accessible.
Speaking of those, if you need help, go to the IGN wiki on IGN.com.
What's the easiest way to get there?
Go to IGN.com/wikis.
Okay, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
But so that was just weird to me. Like, I felt like the side missions in 1 and specifically in 2, like, I felt like were awesome.
Oh, yeah, totally. And that was, like, I wanted more of that. And when I got to Grissom Academy, I was like, this mission's blowing my mind.
I love that one.
This is so awesome.
Okay, that one, I totally agree, because that ties stuff from the book.
Yeah.
You know, you meet the female lead who's like in a relationship with Anderson in all the novels. Mm-hmm. You see Jack again, the students are there. People from the Overlord DLC are in that mission. Yeah, that was the coolest mission of the whole game.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
I liked it because it was like I was helping the X-Men, but whatever.
Oh yeah, right, yeah.
These are cool too.
Exactly. one of the other coolest missions was the Geth infiltration when you go into whatever it is and it looks like you're in some other.
Oh, right. It's something completely different. You're shooting the virus off.
Oh, yeah.
That was weird.
You go into the Lawnmower Man mission.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, that's the best way to describe it. And it, you know, after a while, it was just you're running around shooting those things. But the narrative and the way that you—I mean, that's sort of how they delivered the story of how the Geth really weren't villains.
Yeah. I like when you run into Jacob and you're helping those people and you get the clues that he's with this girl and you can kind of investigate. That was fun. Yeah.
Okay, so Caden Thomas asks us, what was your favorite moment of the Mass Effect trilogy?
Making Saren shoot himself.
Yeah?
Yeah, because like I had played through good the whole time and I'm like, you're indoctrinated, don't you realize it? And he's like, you're right, I am. And then he like kills himself. Speaking of which, the Elusive Man does the same thing.
He does.
But for some reason in my first playthrough, my Paragon wasn't high enough.
Oh yeah.
So I wasn't able to get that option.
Nice. My favorite one was Mass Effect 2 Jacob's side mission. Like when we get to that planet and we know things are off kilter and I know we're building up to this conclusion with his dad, to get there and see him like break down and talk to his father like that, I was like, wow.
That was rough. Yeah. That was a rough mission. That's another example of a great, I mean.
Mass Effect 2's missions were awesome.
Mass Effect 2,
but Jack's mission.
But remember,
Jack, we're getting her out and talking about her past.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 2 was all about the side missions. I mean, the entire end game hinged on how you treated the loyalty missions. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jack's mission was so incredible. I mean, and all of them, I mean, some of them were a little, like what's the bounty hunter dudes?
Zaid?
Yeah. Oh, that was DLC.
Oh, it was? Okay, whatever. So,
But speaking of DLC, Overlord, not Shadowbroker. Shadowbroker's good.
Shadowbroker's fun. Yep.
Overlord is still my favorite of all time. Very Lawnmower Man-y-ish, but like, when you're walking along and all of a sudden, like, yelling at you, that literally made me jump.
Yep, me too.
Yeah.
Now, it's amazing, too, how they weave that into the story. Like, you meet David again.
And
you meet his brother.
Yeah, on the Jacob mission. Yep. You meet his brother on the Jacob mission. Yep. You meet David in Grissom Academy.
Now, I had had recently played the Shadow Broker and the Overlord and the Arrival DLC. I didn't play them when they first came out, but I played them before ME3. And I was waiting to see if it was going to be tied in. And Liara is who I brought with me on the Shadow Broker mission. And so I was waiting to see, is Liara the Shadow Broker now? And it was interesting when she joined my crew and I went down to visit her. I'm like, oh my gosh, the Shadow Broker's on the Normandy. What's going on? So just again, like BioWare's really good at tying all
this
stuff together.
I was so confused at that part though, because I'd forgotten that I had played Shadow Broker on PS3. Oh. So I walk in and she's telling me all this stuff, like, oh yeah, I had to go and I took out the Shadow Broker. I'm like, I did this with you, didn't I?
So guys, we got 3 minutes left. We're going to give away a black N7 utility jacket. It's pretty friggin' sweet. So please tweet us at IGN, hashtag ME3, with any of your questions, things that you want us to talk about here in the last couple moments. Cameron James tweets and he says, I was disappointed with the lack of an explanation for the origin of the Reapers.
Well, the kid talks about it at the end. He says, like, we made them. They were the last. So 50,000 years before this, the Reapers were apparently walking around and doing everything. And that's the representation of life from that time period. 50,000 years later, it's like humans and all these other races.
That's how I explained it, all right.
Yeah.
50,000 years ago, the Reapers were walking around doing things. Shepard's like, all
that's
right.
That's verbatim what the kid said.
You know, I can show, that's kind of like drunk history.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So now, one thing we haven't talked about at all is multiplayer. Like, what did you guys think of that briefly?
It's fun. It didn't feel too tacked on. It felt a little unnecessary that it tied into your war assets, but I enjoy playing it with people.
Didn't you play it?
Oh, really?
No.
I thought it was really fun. I mean, it was very similar to Horde mode and to, you know, that thing that now we're seeing in most shooters where there's, you know, whether it's Spec Ops and Call of Duty or, what's it called in Halo? I forget. I'm sorry.
Firebase.
Firefight. Fire, yeah. This is a Halo 2 shirt. Oh, okay. They didn't have that back then. So, but yeah, I thought the multiplayer was really fun. But it was really weird how the Galaxy at War system worked and how it really wasn't explained very well.
Totally, not at all, right?
Nobody gets it.
We were all playing it, and you know, you're talking with the guy who wrote, you know, the entire guide for Mass Effect 3, and we're
I
all
didn't
like,
write it. Sam wrote
okay,
it.
Okay, but
I
you
did
know what
video.
I mean. You did all the videos. You did the walkthroughs, and we're all wondering, like, how does this exactly work? And it really wasn't until we actually got to the multiplayer parts where we saw how it played in, and we started playing for a while, and then all of a sudden our galactic readiness jumped up by like 25%.
Yeah.
And then it goes down if you don't play.
It's a multiplier. How it works is whatever percentage you have. So, like, you have 5,000 war assets. If you only have 50%, you get 2,500. If you have 100%, then 100% of whatever you've collected is your final readiness rating.
Mm-hmm.
So, if that makes sense to anybody watching, that's the explanation. It's just a multiplier.
Don't even worry about it. You watch the breath ending.
Yeah.
You don't have to sweat it.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen.
You know how it ends.
So guys, we're almost at a close here. We're gonna ask our final question. So please tweet us at IGN, hashtag Mass Effect 3. We got a couple more coming up here. I think we've seen all the endings, we've talked about it. I think we're all of the opinion that we wanna see what BioWare has next.
Totally.
It seems like if we were able to get to a point where indoctrination is the explanation, then maybe, is that going to-
Imagine if it isn't now.
Yeah, what if, like, something completely different?
You know, are the fans going to riot again and there'll be a new petition? Like, wehatemasseffect.com?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I think there's going to be people who are unhappy regardless, but,
what's
know,
interesting
not
is
to
when,
this extent.
When was the last, like, giant thing that ended that everybody loved? Seinfeld, Sopranos, Lost,
not
Cheers, nobody
Matrix.
Liked any of this stuff. Matrix, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, when's the last thing that ever summed up? Battlestar Galactica? Yeah. I can't think off the top of my head of anything that ever ended and people were like, yes. I guess Lord of the Rings, but they knew that ending was coming.
Slow clap. I hated the ending of Lord of the Rings.
There you go.
There was like eight endings in that movie. Yeah. All right, so our final piece of awesome Mass Effect swag is going to go to J.C. Nolan. J.C. writes and says, I wanted to see Shepard's backstory mission. Where he was promoted to commander, and I was disappointed that I didn't. What are your thoughts?
That would have been really cool to see. Yeah. Like, more like, how did he get to be N7 and all that stuff.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Like, being eaten by a Threshermaw and somehow surviving that. In my story, anyway.
Or the fight that they referenced throughout the entire trilogy, where everyone died except for him?
That depends on if you pick Soul Survivor,
Soul Survivor.
Or Earthborn.
Oh,
all those choices affect what people talk about.
Yeah. Anyways, everyone knows that he was in that fight, and he was the only one that survived.
He survived a coups. That's what I heard constantly.
A coups, there you go. So it would be amazing to actually be able to play a coups. So, J.C. Nolan, congratulations, you're the winner. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to IGN Live Presents Mass Effect 3 SpoilerCast. As always, please leave us all of your comments. Hit us up on Twitter. I am at LynchTacular. At Game Over Greggy and at Destin L. Hit us
well,
up.
Gary. Nobody can spell it.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
And hit us up at IGN. And for all of your Mass Effect 3 news, keep it tuned to IGN.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.